It's the willingness to live life on purpose. It's the will, it's the choice to say yes to life. And most of us postpone saying yes to the things that make us feel alive because we either don't feel like we've earned the right or we don't think we have the time, as if there's going to be some point in the future that someone's going to show up and give ourselves permission to simply enjoy this day we have today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Moeller Real Estate and Business Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Moeller, and on this podcast, we will be interviewing guests that have made their mark in real estate, in business, and in other areas of life. Listening to podcasts myself has helped me in so many different ways and continues to do so. If you're a real estate investor or an entrepreneur or aspiring to be either, or just someone that wants to learn, you've come to the right place. An easy way to have an impact is to share this episode with friends or family, provide a review, or just spread the word. We greatly appreciate it, and now let's get to the show. Welcome, everyone, to the Moeller Real Estate and Business Podcast. I am very excited for today's guest, Aaron Bradley. Aaron, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. For our listeners, Aaron is the best-selling author, speaker, and trainer. She has her own podcast, Pursuing Freedom. She's a former mortgage lender. I'm sure we'll talk about that and the journey that led to that being former and kind of her activities now. But really, her mission is to teach others to build their dream life. And as you say it, a life that you do not need to take a vacation from. So I'm very excited to hear more about that, maybe later in the episode, Aaron. But first, how did you arrive at where you are today? Like, what's the backstory to all this?
Sure. So not to go too far in the weeds, but as the youngest of five kids, we all followed the plan and went and tried to get good grades and go to college. And everyone in my family, including my dad, were in business, finance, et cetera. And so I followed suit. And by the time I was graduating college, one of my older sisters was already leaving her corporate career after like very successful and rapid climb up the corporate ladder. And now she was having a family. And I thought to myself, well, if I'm going to have a family someday, I don't know how that's going to play into my desire to work or not work or whatever. And I'd like to someday have kids. So I saw this little window of opportunity to go travel and adventure for a few years. So kayaked the coast of Mexico for a month with National Outdoor Leadership School, went to Spain for 2 years and taught English in Barcelona and went on safari, did all kinds of fun things and found my way back to the States and to Colorado where somebody suggested that I might be good in the mortgage business. And at this point, the free-spirited, you know, vagabond within me was like, oh no, I'm not doing corporate America. They're like, no, it's not like that. You know, just come check it out. They need a bilingual American at this little Latino mortgage company. So I go and meet the owner and he's amazing. And so it's this really cool small group of friends and coworkers, and they're going to work in jeans and a t-shirt and doing yoga in the middle of the day. And then when they have a closing, they put on their suit and go to the closing. And I'm like,
my.
You know, I take this part-time job as a marketing and admin assistant, and I'm looking at this life of the footloose and fancy free, and I'm thinking, that is the life for me.
Yep.
I need to be a loan officer. So in the summer of 2007, I go 100% commission, perfect timing, right? Just before 08, 09. And I did so with zero financial safety net, zero plan or confidence or systems. And within a year, I am more than broke. I'm more than $35,000 in credit card debt, and I'm maxed on all my credit cards, and I get a referral for a new lead. And I remember not having enough money for gas and having to ride my bike 5 miles across town in the summer in Denver, Colorado, because I just needed to like get this deal so I could pay my bills. And when I get there early to let the sweat dry off,
oh my.
What am I going to wear that can look professional and ride a bike? I don't know. But I get there early. And unfortunately, the client also shows up early as my credit card is being declined for a $2 cup of coffee. And I honestly thought, Phil, that was the card that would work. So I didn't know what to do. I'm like, I can't try another card and have it be declined or he's going to know the truth. So I just lied. I was like, that's my debit card. That's so weird. I'm going to have to call the bank. And he bought my coffee. And I felt like I was just a loser at financial rock bottom, you know. And at the time, I really didn't know what I was doing. So I asked my dad for advice. And he had been an entrepreneur. And he said, listen, do you think you're going to be good at this someday? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And he said, then you have to do whatever it takes. And so I did. I opened another credit card. I actually hired a coach, believe it or not. I think a lot of people aren't willing to do that until they're They think they have to earn the right to afford the coach. And I know now, I've never been without a coach since then, that I wouldn't have gotten to where I am without having hired the coach. But what I'll tell you is that the idea of do whatever it takes is something that I have a little bit of conflict around, because it feels very upstream energy. Like it's got to feel hard. It's got to feel like a grind. It's got to feel like a hustle. Just fit into somebody else's shoes, like fit into the mold that that person has told you is the one that works. And I always joke that while you can wear someone else's shoes, like I could put your shoes on, Phil, and I'd be fine to walk down the muddy street and not get my socks wet, but it wouldn't feel very comfortable, right? And so for a couple of years there, I did it. I did whatever it takes. And I was closing deals and I was paying my bills and I was desperate. So I told the coach, tell me what to do and I'll do it. But it's funny, in the background here, I see you've got the Go-Giver on the shelf. And it wasn't until 2011, so now this is 4 years later, someone gave me the Go-Giver and I read it and I had a complete paradigm shift. I realized that I had been living out of alignment with my authenticity for years, because that's what paid the bills. And that's what I was told I had to do to be successful, whatever that meant, you know? And so I read that book, and the philosophy is that the goal is to give more in value than you hope to receive in payment. And I developed a strategy within my mortgage business that allowed me to actually live out that philosophy with my friends and clients. And my business more than doubled, which was great because I was doing it while having more fun and giving more value. And it felt like the money was following the contribution instead of the money being the object of my chase and my hustle. And more money than I had expected or planned for, which was great. However, it was also more demand. I was working 24/7, had a toddler, had a baby on the way, and started questioning everything. And in the meantime, I started teaching this strategy to other business owners, and I found that I wasn't alone, that I wasn't the only person who struggled with this desire for abundance, but not at the expense of my present moments with my loved ones, and also not at the expense of myself, right? My authenticity. And so the story kind of evolves from there, but that was kind of how it all began, was I kind of fell into the world of entrepreneurship, and that led to real estate investing. Then the strategy that I developed led to teaching, and that led to the content of the book and the podcast and everything that's brought me to where I am today. But the Go-Giver philosophy is still the fundamental principle of everything I do, is that when I start thinking that I need to put a dollar amount on the object of my desire and I've got to chase that dollar amount, and then when I get there, I'll be happy. I notice that the goalpost just keeps moving because our desires just keep expanding. And I catch myself and say, the goal is just to give value to every person I meet today, and that can be enough, and have faith the money follows, and it always does.
So I want to come back to that before. So the timeline of this, so you started teaching others, when was that?
So right back in 2011, when I took the Go-Giver concept and applied it to my mortgage business, it was extraordinary. Like, my business more than doubled overnight, and then I started teaching that strategy to real estate agents. My biggest issue, Phil, was that I had a lot of fear of what people will think of me, fear of being seen as salesy, fear of failure, of course. But honestly, after my first experience with burnout, I had fear of success almost worse than fear of failure, because I felt like the stress of burnout and 24/7 and second guessing your desires and your ambition was almost as painful as the stress of being financially struggled.
So I want to talk about the fear of what other people think about, and I want to tie it to your podcast and really the book, the Pursuing Freedom. So maybe what is freedom? Like, how do you define what freedom is?
Well, it's a great question, because one of the mantras I have for myself is that I have complete freedom over my time, and I have all the time I need to accomplish what matters most. But when I got myself lost on the hamster wheel of comparisonitis and imposter syndrome and trying to fit the mold and trying to make some money and trying to pay my bills and all this stuff, everything I did was predicated by my fear. And in theory, there was going to be some point in the future, once I achieved X, Y, and Z, that I was going to have permission to feel free. And when that happened and I achieved financial success, which a lot of people hear the word success and they think money. But I know I wasn't the only one who was making a lot of money and who was in tears behind the scenes because I had lost my ability to enjoy any present moments. I felt constantly preoccupied, distracted, scattered, overwhelmed. And that didn't feel like freedom any more than being financially destitute did, you
Yep.
know?
And I
And
think
so,
that, sorry, go ahead.
well, just freedom as I define it now is the willingness to listen to what you know your intuition is asking you for and to make decisions, which is all it really is. Like the difference between you and the person living the life you want is their decision to do it and to try and fail and fall and get up and keep going. And so it's the willingness to live life on purpose. It's the choice to say yes to life. And most of us postpone saying yes to the things that make us feel alive. Because we either don't feel like we've earned the right, or we don't think we have the time, as if there's going to be some point in the future that someone's going to show up and give ourselves permission to simply enjoy this day we have today, you know?
So I the book I think Who Not How, but one of Dan Sullivan's books, he describes like four different freedoms, and I think you hit every one. So I want to say those: time freedom, money freedom, purpose freedom of purpose, and then he says freedom of relationships. I think of that like freedom of what other people think, and a fear of letting that guide what you do versus what, as you said, your intuition. Do those four make sense to you? As or how like what cat So you mentioned all those in different ways, but are those the different ways and categories to think of it, or do I not even need to worry about that? And it's just freedom, as you said, to live life on purpose and listen to your intuition. How would you add to that?
So the way that I think about it for myself is not necessarily categorically, although I do love that, and I love all of his books. And The Gap in the Game is another
Yep.
amazing one that hit me so hard because Benjamin Hardy talks about how there's a line in that book, and I remember writing it in my journal because I was just like, whoa, that's so spot on. He said, I had achieved all levels of external success, but I was still unhappy. I was still unfulfilled. It was like the goalpost kept moving. And he realized that it doesn't matter what you achieve externally if you're going to continually be unsatisfied because you're living in the gap between where you are and where you wish you could be next.
Yep.
So instead, to wake up and realize that you've come so far, to live in the gain from where you are to where you started. And for me, it's more, you know, it's been a game, it's become a game almost of, I wish I could, but, and then write it out. Like, write out, I wish I could, what? In my dream life, you know, it would be amazing too. And get a pen and paper and let yourself daydream a little bit with reckless abandon. And then listen to how quickly your brain says, but. And I always tell people, don't be such a butthead, but we are all buttheads because our butts will always speak up and try to be louder than what our heart is saying, I wish I could, right? Whatever follows that. And I'm not afraid to get intimate with my own fears. Whatever follows the but is a story. It's a thought that you've allowed to become a belief, and a belief that becomes a story, and the story becomes the excuse for why I can't do such and such. And I just believe that the words I can't basically are the same as saying I won't, because you can reverse engineer it and say, how can I? And see yourself awaken the reticular activating system of your brain, your subconscious brain, which will start to notice solutions to the problem or the desire or the path starts to unfold. But it can't unfold if you've closed the door before you've begun. And when you say, I can't, you've closed the door.
Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right, right? Henry Ford's famous quote. But I think what's so think, right? I keep saying that. But the process of writing that down, what I like what you said is, I wish I could this. And don't be afraid to write down, but when you write out the rest of the sentence, put that in, what I'm hearing is put that in perspective and understand that the but is part of the story and be aware of that and don't let that make you say, I can't. Okay, this might be a challenge. This might be a limiting belief, but I will be much better if I overcome it as well. Like just writing that stuff out, I think it can be a helpful process.
For sure. So write it out first and foremost. I can't because why? I could never because why? I should do this. Why? Is it should or is it want to? Is it choose to? Because if you take a, and I have to do this and I should do that, and you replace it with I want to and I choose to, you'll have a physical response to tell you whether that's true or not. And so many of us live in the world of should and have to and can't and I could never, instead of the world of I want to and I'm freaking terrified, but I really want it bad enough that I'm willing to say how, and I'm going to begin before I see, like you said, all the dots connect forward. It's like I'm going to begin before I have it all figured out. Because if I look back to how far I've come, if I'm honest, each and every one of us, if you go back to your 20-year-old self, unless you're 20 right now listening, but if you're a business owner, you go back to your 20-year-old self. I guarantee in some capacity of your life, your business, your finances, your relationships, your health, you've done something that exceeds the expectation of your younger self, which means that we have no clue what we're capable of, and we've probably barely scratched the surface, and that our fears are going to be so powerful in trying to keep us staying put where we are, bound by the should and the have to and the I could never and the I can't, instead of unleashed towards the that would be amazing, that would be fun, that'd be kind of cool. Like, what if we could do it that? What if it works, you know?
And that's why I like the I wish I could and it would be amazing if, because even if those things seem out of reach for you right now, don't feel like you have to solve the entire problem or have it all figured out right now. If it feels good, if it's aligned with your intuition or your purpose, whatever you want to call it, just move in that direction. Write it down, move in that direction. And you're gonna, if you do that now, I wish I could, but then you move in that direction. In a year from now, your wish I could is going to be much bigger than what it is right now. So you just referenced connecting the dots. We had a discussion a month or so ago. You can't connect the dots forward, right? You don't know where you're going to go. But if you think this is in alignment with your intuition or with your purpose, just move in that direction, if nothing else, to educate yourself further on where the next dot is. So I love the thought process of writing it out and then write it out and see how that changes over time. Now, go back a year ago. What did you write then? And compare it to what you're writing right now. And you'll see the difference and you'll see the growth, which I think also leads to happiness.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I always repost these things that I see on my Instagram because I just get nerded out sometimes. And I just shared this today, and I don't even know who posted it. Jay Shetty shared it, but it said, "It's important to realize that you are living inside one of your answered prayers while you wait for your next one. There's always a place for gratitude," meaning that every aspect of your, there are many aspects, I should say, of your current reality that at some point was a, that would be amazing. I wish I could. Whether it's a trip you've taken, in my case, it's my mountain bike. I dreamed about my mountain bike before I had it, you know, now I love my mountain bike and I'm used to it now. But if I'm honest, like it was something that felt like a leap for me to invest in that bike or that car or that house or that second home or that whatever. So much of our current reality is the manifestation of a previous desire. So, like, how do we lighten up while we're waiting for the unfolding of the new desire?
And you talked about the gap in the game, and I just thought of this. So I'm sure you've heard the quote, we always overestimate how much we can get done in the next 12 to 24 months or 1 to 2 years, but we always underestimate what we can get done in the next 10 years. If you take that, so that's a futuristic quote. If you look backwards in the last 6 or 12 months, you might even think, man, did I really make that much progress? If you go back 10 years, right, and you look at all your I wishes and I wish I could and your just dreams and ambitions, you probably did accomplish a lot of those. So to keep, I think it's important. Again, the gap and the gain. How are you looking at it? Are you looking at the gap from where you think you're going or the gain of where you've come from? I think that's another way to reframe that. You talked about your mortgage business and then this education, speaking, coaching. You wrote a book. Tell me more about how that unfolded in your story and where you, what you're doing today, because I know you're pretty excited about it.
Yeah, well, it's also ironic as I think back to this conversation I had with my dad way back when I was in college and I had, you know, signed up for the business school and I was in my sophomore year, I started taking the finance classes and my dad was a stockbroker and financial advisor, my brother as well, like, you know, all my siblings had kind of gone in some direction in the corporate world in the Northeast, Philadelphia, New York, Boston, DC, et cetera. And I realized at that time I wanted to be a teacher. And I tried to switch over to the School of Education from the School of Business. And they told me that if I did that, I wouldn't be able to study abroad my junior year. And I wanted to go to Ireland. And I remember thinking like, well, travel's really important to me. What should I do? And my dad said, listen, you can always be a teacher with a business degree. You can't be a stockbroker with an education degree. So just get the business degree, right? And then I go on to teach English in Barcelona for a couple of years and teach Spanish in Philly and then teaching in Denver. And then I find myself in this sales job, which is really what it is, you know? I mean, being a mortgage professional, real estate agent, whatever, if you're an entrepreneur, you're going to have to sell what you've got to offer. And I struggled so hard with that shift in this, I need to do this to get this so I can pay my bills. And that's why I loved the Go Giver so much. But ultimately, once I found a strategy that worked for me, and I say pursuing freedom, the book says pursuing freedom, be yourself, increase your referrals, and have more fun growing your business. And when I realized that I wasn't the only one struggling with some of the antiquated sales tactics, and I could help others, I just became unleashed in teaching. So as a mortgage loan officer, I was teaching workshops in real estate offices, title companies, anywhere I felt like I could be of value. And I saw that the message had an impact on others. And so that evolved into me eventually growing a team. I hired a few of my best friends. I hired my nanny after 2.5 years, and I trained them in the mortgage business. And I loved seeing how the business transformed their lives in the most extraordinary and unexpected ways. And I started to become awake to this idea that entrepreneurship and the success in the financial realm that's available to those who desire it and create it for themselves, it can change your life. It can transform your life in the most positive way. And it can change your life for the negative. It can suck the life out of you. You can find yourself surviving your own success. And I had been there when I was experiencing burnout, just simply sucking it up and surviving. And so I started teaching real estate agents how to scale their business, you know, how, when, and why to hire, how to screen applicants, et cetera, how to build culture. And I just loved it. And again, I was helping people overcome their challenges. And so this journey of being in a space of education, in essence, it was the way that I grew my business because it put me in front of people in the way that I know how, which is to be of value and to teach. And so it led to coaching inside of the mortgage company I was at. And then once I started the podcast, and that led to speaking opportunities, and that led to coaching real estate agents. And again, we started investing in real estate out of state. We had a lot of in-state investments. And in 2020, we did a 6-month RV road trip and homeschooled our kids. And I just remember thinking, I am doing a little too much. Like, I am running a business with 9 employees. I am homeschooling my kids, running a podcast, running a coaching company. And that's why eventually in 2022, I was standing on a stage talking about the art of subtraction and how to do more with less. And I realized I wasn't taking my own advice. So many of us can relate to that, how often we give others advice that we don't take for ourselves. And I did the scary thing. I leapt and I left the mortgage business and I went full force into speaking and coaching and continuing the investment journey and the path to financial freedom through that as well. So
It's
it's been
really
fun.
interesting how a lot of times I'm sure your message that you teach people is based on prior experiences and what you learned and the pain I think you went through, right? And I can relate to that. A lot of the things, like if there's certain discussions I have on the podcast or wherever, it's because it resonates with me a lot because I've either gone through that or I'm going through that currently, right? Like we're not like there's there we all have things to figure out. What's interesting about what you said is you were speaking it and then you're like, oh shoot, I better like I who am I talking to here? So
Yeah.
through that process, you where what is the mortgage business, the subtraction? What did that mean completely?
Well, I mean, we talked earlier about the fear of what people will think of you. So, if I'm honest, I was called to this speaking and coaching. I mean, really, it's about the mentoring and coaching of others because one of my superpowers is to see in someone else the limitations they're placing on themselves, the stories and the lies that they tell themselves around what's possible, and help to not, like knock down those walls. So I kind of joke that like we all have our belief system of about what we can or should or shouldn't do, right? And it's kind of like a brick wall in front of us. And we do all the things, right? We read and we We listen to podcasts and we attend seminars and we try to get inspired to start chipping away at that wall so we can break through and break down these barriers. And to have a mentor or coach that sees the light in you when you can't see it for yourself is like having a bulldozer just knock it down and just like crack your mind wide open that yes, you can. And if you're willing, you can do whatever you want, you know? And so I was having so much fun and feeling so alive just in conversations like this on my podcast or on stages or whatever. And I kept on telling myself, I can't leave the mortgage business. And I can't because I can't let people down. And what are they going to think of me? And they're going to feel like I've abandoned them and I can't let them down. And so here I was living in my own world of, I wish I could, but I can't. And here's why. And the why was my fear of letting people down. And I think we all struggle with that in every area of our life and business. And that's when I realized I have to do this because I can't live out of alignment with the values that I try to teach in the coaching experiences that I'm having with others, right? And I also hired a coach, which like I said, I've always had a coach, and I hired a coach that has been where I was trying to go. So somebody who had multiple businesses and a real estate portfolio and was writing books and teaching workshops and speaking on stages so that I didn't feel crazy in any of it, you know?
I think two things there. One, we've talked about it on the podcast before, but the importance of who you associate with, who you put yourself around, and being intentional about that. And then looking at people such as a coach who has either done that before, helped other people do it, who can see more in you than a lot of times you can see in yourself, which is what you're also doing for others. So I think just reiterating the point that people have heard before, surround yourself with good people, be willing to pay for that. Right, in whatever area of life you want help in, be willing to pay for that. So that's the first one. And the second one, and tied to the Go Giver, by the way, a quick pause, but I'm interviewing Bob Berg of the Go Giver tomorrow. So I'm extremely excited about that because that book, like I'll say it tomorrow, I'm sure, or on the following episode. Go get that book and pick it up because you're listening to Erin and she's saying it had a big impact on her. It definitely had a great impact on me and has helped me in a lot of different ways. Both the inside game, which I want to come back to, but also hopefully helping others. But the interesting thing is, you talked about two things with others. One is the go-giver mindset, serve others. The other one is fear of what other people think about. And those are almost contradictory. But I think fear of what other people will think of us is such a limiting factor to so much success. And people don't do, quite frankly, this, I almost didn't launch this podcast. It took me forever to because I'm like, well, what are certain people going to think and this and that, right? So, help people like dissect that a little bit more. How do we get over that?
Well, one of the things I say to myself, which started with myself, and then it became something I share with others, is that I said it earlier, but I'm not afraid to get intimate with my fear. And there's nobody that you admire that's achieved something you desire that doesn't still wrestle with the narratives in the brain and the fears and the limiting beliefs and the what if it doesn't work and all this other chatter that stops us dead in our tracks and kind of like turns the mud into quicksand. And so I am not afraid to get intimate with my fears, and I'll write out my fears and then I'll write them in the reverse. And that's kind of like, what if it works? And it turns into affirmations around what is possible and what I see for myself and things like that. But more than anything, when it comes to sort of becoming unleashed in the direction of serving others, whether that be through creating content, marketing content, or picking up the phone to connect with those past clients of yours, or putting an event together, or creating a podcast, or writing that book, whatever it is, right, that you feel called to do, and then you talk yourself out of it with your fear. I always say to myself, if my message could help one person today, then shame on me for playing small. And I'm thinking too much about myself. In other words, if I want to call Phil and he's an old friend of mine or an old client, but I'm doing it because I've been told that I need to do this to satisfy my business goals. Like, I need to make more calls, to get more meetings, to get more deals, to make more money. All of a sudden, it's about me, right? And that creates this resistance inherently this upstream energy where I feel like I'm paddling upstream to get to this achievement, right? If I can notice that in myself and say, hang on a second, my business, my bank account is not what's keeping Phil up at night. If he wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning because he's stressed about something or excited about something, I guarantee you it's not my business or my bank account. It is whatever's going on in his life.
Correct.
So if I can replace my own insecurity with curiosity and then replace my fear with love, then I can become unleashed. And if I can tell myself, what if picking up the phone to call Phil ends up being of value to him? If my message could help one person today, shame on me for playing small. And then I get excited to talk to Phil because I love him. He's great. And I haven't talked to him forever. And I can say to him that I can say, dude, you just popped into my brain. And I realize I haven't talked to you since you bought the house, which I cannot believe was already 3 years ago. And I'm mortified that I've been so out of touch. Life has been absolutely bananas. I'm sure it has been for you. How the heck are you? And if you don't answer, I can say, I can even just shoot you a text and say, no need to call me back. I just wanted you to know you're on my mind
Yep.
and you popped into my brain. And I wanted you to know somebody's thinking about you today. Hope you're well, you know?
This idea, you didn't say the specific word, but ego and worrying, like worrying about what other people think a lot of times is really your own ego getting in the way because it's limiting you. It's worrying about what people think of you. So you're worrying about yourself instead of putting the people that you might help in whatever business in, whatever you're doing, you're putting your own feelings of what people think about you over how you can impact the person you might impact, right?
Yes. And along those lines, I was talking with a coaching client of mine, and she's like, I just need to pick up the phone. You know, she's been selling real estate for 28 years. I just need to pick up the phone and get back to it and put on my big girl pants, whatever. And I'm like, okay, all of that sounds like a have to and a should, which feels laden with heaviness and dread and procrastination. I'm like, let's do this. Let's simplify this. Give me the name of a couple of your favorite people that you've either worked with or you know in your life, right? And then, can you get curious about what's going on with them? And so she starts coming from that place of curiosity instead of like having this attached to an agenda of solving her business needs, right? And she ends up having this amazing conversation with a past client. And the woman was going through a tough time. She had moved in with her grown daughter. She was going through some stuff. And when the conversation came to an end, she said, you know, I'm really glad you called me today. It means the world to me. I didn't realize that when I sold my house a couple years ago, I was going to gain a friend. Now, how do you feel? How do you think that made the agent feel? It probably filled her bucket to know that she had filled someone else's bucket. And it probably ignited her flame to shine a little bit brighter in the next interaction. And that's what I want for people is to recognize that we all have this light within us. And it shines bright when we're making an impact, when we're feeling engaged, when we're having a good time, or we're feeling emotion, crying, laughing, whatever. And we suffocate that flame with all this chatter of should and have to, and I wish I could, but I can't, and all this other stuff, or I need to do this and I have to do that. And all of a sudden, it's like you're walking around with a dim light. But if you can do what you need to do to access the control switch of the light within you, or, you know, borrow the light you see in someone else, or borrow the light they see in you, and let your light shine brighter a little bit, and just lighten up, literally lighten up a little bit, have a
Yep.
little fun today. You might find that you can ignite the flames of those around you, which makes your light shine brighter. And all of a sudden, you've got this wildfire of opportunity, unexpected, unscripted, unsolicited, doors opening all the time. And you're in flow and you're no longer upstream. You're going downstream and like with a velocity. Like life can be so exponential when you approach it this way.
And the interesting thing about the story you just told is, if I understand it, a real estate agent and then a customer, where their normal amount of interaction time is maybe a couple of hours in total. I mean, maybe it's two, maybe it's four, maybe it's six, I don't know, but it's not a ton of time, right? So the point is, every single interaction for somebody is an opportunity to have an impact. And you just don't know what's going on in that person's life and that person's mind. So that's just a small interaction. But if you have employees, if you have peers, if you have bosses, customers, whoever it might be, you just like you. A lot of times, our interactions are just very business to the point, but get to the next level with people and just be curious, as you said it, and ask a couple of open-ended questions, and who knows where it'll go or what impact you can have.
Yep, 100%. Just peel back the layers of the onion and move beyond the transaction And things start to feel a lot easier and lighter and authentic. And really, that's what it's about, is like, I was reading something about how, I know a lot of your listeners are probably entrepreneurs and business owners, and how no clients are derived outside of conversation. And if we could just make it our mission to be in conversation and look for ways to be of value to people every single day, we'll be surprised and delighted by the unexpected things that arise from those conversations with people that we feel an authentic connection to, because that's where the creativity and the new ideas pop up out of nowhere. Like, oh my God, Phil, you know what you should do? You need to connect with so and so. Or let me get you in touch with so and so because you're doing this podcast thing and
Your
I know someone
connector.
who could be a guest on your show, or you need to be a guest on my show. Or like, these things don't happen outside of conversation. They happen in the conversation. And we get so wadded up with needing an outcome from every interaction. And it's not about that. It's just about leaving a mark that creates a ripple that leads to the unexpected.
And I think that's what I was going to say too, is do those things because they're the right thing to do. It does feel good, give value. But if you do those things from a business perspective, the results will be exponential. Don't do it for that reason. But and they talk about it in the book, but you're basically building an army of people that are thinking about you and providing you just referrals or whatever it might be from a business perspective. But do it because it just, if you lighten other people up, I think it's going to light you up, right?
Yep, totally.
Awesome. And so you talked a little bit earlier too. I mean, you called it the inside game. I mean, have we covered that in your mind? Are there other elements, like, is that the fear that we talked about? Or are there other elements of the inside game that you want to expand upon?
I tell everyone that, there's no shortage of action plans out there, right? So you have a need. What is your need? You want to grow your business, build your wealth, whatever it is. Get healthier. And then someone gives you the playbook. Okay, go to the gym and do this many reps, or make this many phone calls, or see this many people, or write this many notes, or create this much content, or whatever. And that's the action plan. And I don't think there's any shortage of action planning. I think the disconnect and the bottleneck comes from within. And it's all the stuff that we've covered. So it's like, you see people, especially if they're bored and burned out from something they've been doing for a really long time, they can do it with their eyes closed. They know how to do it, and they find themselves not in the mood. We need to figure out what it is that's suffocating and extinguishing that flame within you, because when you've been giving from an empty well for a really long time, you just eventually run out of steam. And there's a lot of people walking around doing that. They're mustering it up, they're putting on the game face, they're giving from the empty well, but their loved ones know. The version of them that comes home at night and collapses and is just exhausted and depleted knows that that flame has been extinguished, and maybe for quite some time. And so we need to figure out, like I said earlier, how do you get access to that control switch within you? How do you know yourself well enough to know what ignites that flame, so that when you have the self-awareness to notice that you're dim, that you don't just keep muscling through the activity, because it doesn't get you where you're trying to go. I mean, I believe that you can get there both ways, I guess. I think some people love to have that, I need to be busy to feel good about myself, and my busyness is my badge of honor. So I'm just going to go, go, go until I run out of steam and keep going anyway, and get to the same destination as somebody who decides to slow down in order to catapult to that same destination with ease and with enjoyment and with connection and engagement and fun. And like, life is supposed to be fun. It's not something we need to earn. It's something we need to prioritize and have faith that when the light is ignited, when the flame is bright, you're like a lighthouse in the storm, that the ships come to port, the opportunities find you. And it's not going to all be figured out from your analytical brain, which is really paralyzed by fear most of the time.
Correct. No, and honestly, all of that, like, I think just health is a super easy analogy. You kind of referenced it, but there's a million things and action steps you can do, but you have to start with the mindset, the inside game of why are you really doing this? Like, is it superficial or surface level reasons, or is it like, no, really impactful, important reason? Like, how long am I going to be here for my kids? How much energy am I going to have for my kids? Like, what are the reasons in the inside game as to why you want things? And that's going to drive the actions. You know what to do. You just need to have the motivation to do it. So the purpose, the why, the light, as you said, like what lights you up, I think is so important. I probably just I probably talk about it too much on the podcast, but it starts with why. For me, it's become more and more clear to me throughout my personal life, business life, everything. And I just would encourage people to go through the steps that Aaron talked about. Like, I wish I could. It would be amazing if, and just do the inside work, and then the actions will just follow. The actions will fall in place, and you'll figure them out.
So one last thing I want to share with you, because you touched upon something as it relates to that why and the motivation and all this other stuff, is that what I also want to challenge people to consider is that who you are today is not the same person you were when you started, in whatever capacity we're talking about. So, we're just coming off, this is early 2024 as we're recording this, and we're just coming off of an interesting shift in the real estate mortgage world over the past, year and a half, 2 years, that we don't know. The future has a lot of uncertainty in this industry. And I hear a lot of people saying, I just need to get back to the basics, get back to. And I want to challenge you to explore what interests you today, what excites you today, and what stresses you out, because it's not the same as what was on your mind 3 years ago. It's not the same as what was on your mind 3 months ago, potentially. Even just the news report by now, the decision with the ruling with NAR is like, even that is changing what's keeping people up at night if they're in the real estate industry, right? That wasn't on their mind necessarily 6 months ago, so much as it is today. So, can you design your business over and over and over again and let your business evolution mirror the evolution of you?
Yep. I love that. And go ahead.
I just think that makes it a lot more interesting and fun and less stagnant. That we've got to be willing to explore the fact that just because we're good at something and just because this is the way it's always been doesn't mean I necessarily enjoy it anymore. And if I'm honest about that, I can start to explore what I do enjoy and let life continue to evolve and be more interesting and exciting and enthusiastic and exhilarating than like boring and dreadful and why can't I get myself to do the things I need to do? Like, seek the inspiration instead of like digging deep for the motivation.
Yep. And I think, again, if I go back to your questions, I think what's important there is the past tense and future, like looking forward. What you wrote down, I wish I could 3 years. Your point is, it's not the same. It's going to change because you're going to change. You're going to grow. You're going to be in different situations. So, yes, do the work to write those down and get clarity on what you think they are and move in that direction. But don't be afraid to change what it is as you grow as well, is what I'm hearing, is get clarity, move in that direction, but in a year from now, do the exercise again, or in 3 months from now. And if it's changed, that's okay. Because you've probably grown in the it could go sideways, it could go up, it could get bigger. You don't know, but it's not just a one-time thing. Keep going through the process.
Yeah, and that's exactly what every year I teach a lifestyle and business design workshop, and we go through all these reflection questions that are very specific and scientific to awaken within you that truth that you are sort of quieting with the chatter in your brain. And I always tell people that the questions don't change, it's the answers that do. So we're going to go through the same questions year after year after year because we're looking back on the last 12 months and the answers continue to evolve and start to awaken you to what really matters to you now, so you can make different decisions in your business to ensure that your business is fueling your epic life and not draining your life.
I love
And
that.
it's just a lot of fun to allow that the unknown to unfold.
So I want to ask a question related to that. If you step back and really think about, for you, this is again a book, speaking, coaching, mentorship, your podcast, like that is what you're focused on right now. How does what you're doing, how does it make you feel?
I mean, just energized and excited because what I've learned in the year and a half since taking the leap out of the mortgage business is that I had to do the work myself. Because as soon as I did not renew my license, I burned the boat. It was like, this is happening. It's all or nothing. If not now, when? And when I took that leap of faith, of course, my default old energy, anxious energy, fear-based, wanted to compel me to hustle and go and floor it and prove to myself that I can make this happen because I need to prove to myself that wasn't a ridiculously irresponsible decision. We all have this. So
Yes.
I'm not special, and neither is anybody listening if you have all this chatter in your brain. It's just part of being human.
Yep.
And so I had to really resist that urge and start to really slow down and get to a place of gratitude and calm and appreciation and pride for how far I've come. And then to be a witness to the evidence of the unfolding instead of needing to have it all figured out. And so almost every day, well, every day I write in my journal and I have quiet time before I give myself away to the world. I read and, listen to podcasts, I meditate, whatever, to get myself primed to show up as the best version of me. And in that time, one of the things I do as an activity is I'll write down all the names of the people in my life that I didn't know 12 months ago. And you're one of them for me, Phil. I mean, you and I met on a call with a group mastermind, and I just felt like we need to connect, and then we have connected. And so you're one of those people that has come into my life. I didn't conjure you up. I didn't imagine you into my world 6 months ago and then go hunt you down and make it happen so that you and I could connect. Our paths intersected
Yep.
unexpectedly. And when you look back and see how much of your success, relationships, opportunities, whatever, were not conjured up by you. They just sort of fell into place. It helps to calm that anxious feeling of, I need to have it all mapped out. I need to know exactly how much I'm going to earn and exactly how many clients and how much they're going to pay, whatever. It's like, I don't need to have it all figured out because I didn't have any of this figured out. It's like, if you allow it and you loosen up the grip, like you'll go downstream instead of paddling hard upstream, and you'll get to these incredible doors opening much faster and unexpectedly. So instead of fearing the unknown, you can start to revel in it.
Yep. I love that. Step into it, right? That's amazing. Man, I think we have to like wrap up. I want to stay there, but this is so good, Aaron. And honestly, it is interesting. I think, just believing there's whatever your beliefs are from a spiritual perspective, just believing that the world, like I read a book, gosh, I'm gonna draw a blank, but we are human beings in a spiritual world. Whatever that means to people, that's a reality. And like dots do connect or things happen for a reason. And if you just believe in that, I think it can give you a peace and a calm that like this world is really, 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 really big and we're a small piece of it. But just do our part, just do our piece and just see where it goes, right?
Yep, 100%.
So I want to, a few questions to take us out here. But so if you said key factor to your success, what would that be?
I say, if not now, when? And I tell people that that is not a lighthearted cliche for me. I've experienced a lot of loss in my life starting at a very young age. I lost five of my best friends before the age of 22. And I believe deeply that we don't know how much time we've got and that life is short. And it's not like YOLO. It's just saying like everything that we've done, whether it was moving our family from Denver to a ski town when our kids were 5 and 3, and we had talked about we'll move here when the kids grow up and graduate from high school. And I said, if not now, when? There's no guarantees. What's the worst case scenario? So let's go through all the worst case scenarios. And most of the time, the worst case scenario is you come back to where you are right now. So just take the chance. And most often, when you look back, if you ask yourself honestly, what's the greatest risk you took in the last 12 months or the last 2 years or whatever? And then ask yourself, what was the smartest decision? These are some of the questions in my business planning workshop. 95% of the room has the same answer. Your biggest risk often ends up being your smartest decision, and the worst case scenario is highly unlikely. So that would be it.
Come back to worst case, come back to where you are. Best case, you're connecting the dots forward. You're learning about yourself. You're learning where you might be going in the future. So good stuff. What do you think, or sorry, most impactful business or real estate related book?
Ooh, most impactful business or real estate related book? That's a good one. I mean, my default would be The Go-Giver, but I'm looking over at all my books. My God, there's so many. I mean, the 4-hour workweek was very fundamental for me. So was Essentialism. Who Not How, The Gap and the Gain, Atomic Habits. I mean,
Man,
on and
so
on
good.
goes.
Those are all so good. Do
I
Not How,
know.
The Gap and the Gain, Atomic Habits by James Clear is fantastic. I think I have that up here somewhere. If I don't, shame on me. So I apologize for that. But so many good books there. And you said, I mean, you said, my God, there's so many of them. Again, for the listeners, like, listen to that answer, right? Listen, you can write down all these books and try to read them. Go Giver is fantastic, by the way. But there's so many. And I think if you listen to Aaron throughout this podcast, you can see, you can sense that there's been a lot of personal development, personal growth, and these are both business and personal development books, which was going to be my next question if there's one to add. But the main point is, you've been working on yourself and growing yourself and building your self-awareness and just, you know, working the inside game, as you said, for a long time.
Yeah, definitely. And I honestly, the work is lighten up. It's not like, it's not, let's not take it all so seriously. We're not going to figure it all out today. So on, especially on the days I feel exceptionally wound up and anxious to get up and go and get up and do and get up and hurry up, which we've been programmed to do since preschool. Those are the moments where I'm intentional about realizing that that anxious energy being infused into any activity I do today is not going to get me where I'm trying to go faster. And that the outcome I'm expecting from the activity in theory is to help me feel a certain way. Like if you think about this, and let's say you're struggling in your business and your finances, and you say to yourself, once I make more money, I'll feel better. And then you start, your business takes off and you find yourself working 24/7 and not sleeping great and running a breakneck pace, and you tell yourselves, when it slows down, I'll feel better, right? So how do you prioritize feeling good each and every day and have faith that you show up better for everyone you're trying to serve personally and professionally when you feel good? So making that a priority. I mean, this morning was a perfect example. I had back-to-back calls from 11 to 4 p.m. and then straight to pick up kids and carpool to lacrosse and all the things, right? And dinner. And I thought to myself, I just need to use the morning to be quote unquote productive, like get things done, deal with my inbox. And then I realized, no, I'd be better off spending 45 minutes doing a cross country ski on a bluebird day and get out in the sunshine and have a laugh with some friends. And I came back and I got everything done. I was far more effective and energized
Yep.
and clear headed and focused because of that. So that's the work. It's lighten up. It's like it's over and over. Every day I tell myself, lighten up a little, just lighten up. The more fun I have, the more doors open, the more opportunities present themselves. And it's not because I scripted it. It's because opportunities follow the light.
So much good advice on so many different topics today. Aaron, how can people find out more about you?
Easily you can connect with me on Instagram at Pursuing Freedom Official. I'm on LinkedIn, Erin Bradley. And you can also check out my website, pursuingfreedom.com. I would say the easiest way to get a hold of me is shoot me a message on Instagram because I always respond personally to those messages and I love hearing from people and I could nerd out on talking shop and life and business all day every day.
This
So
is so much fun. And I think for me, Aaron, I want to thank you because, you know, just this conversation, there's so many nuggets of wisdom that I can take and apply myself. So I really appreciate it. For our listeners, I hope this had an impact on you today. I really ask you, if it does have an impact, maybe just consider sharing this with just one person, get the message out. I mean, get Aaron in front of more people, because again, I think it's just a positive message and a lot to take away on so many fronts. So Aaron, again, thank you for your time. We really, really appreciate it.
thank you. It's been a pleasure and I really appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to the Mole Real Estate and Business Podcast. We hope you found today's episode helpful. If you know current or aspiring investors or entrepreneurs or anyone that would benefit from today's episode, we appreciate you sharing it with them, or better yet, providing us a 5-star review. To learn more about Moller Real Estate, visit our website at www.mollerre.com. You can also sign up for our newsletter or local events via our website. In closing, I encourage you to be purposeful in all areas of life, educate yourself, network with others that have been successful, take action, and lead. Thank you.